I've got two prayer requests over here this morning. Prayer for Sandra Stillman, and then prayers for Jonathan.
Right. So, Father, as we are coming to you in prayer, we've been talking about prayer. One, we know that you hear and that you meet and answer every need. And two, we know that we have to seek after you and seek your will. Sometimes we have to keep praying. Lord, I don't know what the needs of these two individuals are, for Sandra Stillman and for Jonathan, but I'm thankful that I don't have to know because you already know. You're the one who is all-knowing. And so you know every need there is. You're the one who is all-seeing, and you see the situation, and you see not only the current situation, but you also see the end result and the resolution of that situation. Lord, you're the all-powerful one who's able to work circumstances and work miraculously in ways above what we're able to think to meet those needs. And so for these two individuals this morning, I just pray that you will meet every need that they have. Whatever it is they are facing, whatever it is that they are going through, remind them, Father, that you are there, you are in control, and that you will bring about the right answer in the right way at the right time. Lord, we know there are others who have hurts. We know there are others who have needs. And so, Father, we're leaving them into your hand as well, knowing that there's nothing that we can oftentimes do, but you can work in miraculous ways. Sometimes, Father, there are things that we can do, and you use us to be the answer to an individual's prayer. And so, whatever it is they're facing, if we hear of a need, if there's something that we can meet, if there's a word of encouragement we can speak, Lord, if it's just coming around someone and placing our hand on their shoulder or holding their hand as they're going through a difficult situation, use us to be able to minister to them and to be a part of the answer to the prayers that they're lifting up before you. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity and the privilege of prayer. And we leave these cares into your care hands, into your care and keeping. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The Refuge Church is now located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. They're now located at the New Liberty Church. Sunday school is at 10. Worship is at 10:45. Sunday evening prayer is at 5. Sunday evening Bible study starts at 6. Wednesday Bible study is at 7. And Wednesday youth group is at 7. If you have any other questions, you can call them at 580-729-0956. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. She'll bless your shoes and socks off, y'all. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you, they protect you.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Pastor Joe Thompson, and I forgot to announce whenever we started that as soon as the program's over, we will have a word from Pastor Dwight on the Truth broadcast. And your title is Ask, Seek, Knock. Sorry, right. I got all messed up. Before you get back into it, would you like to share about your church services thing. Times?
We're the Church of God here in Elk City, and we are located at 501 West First. And if you're not familiar where that's at, if you know where we're at this morning, we're about 3 blocks to the west here from Joshua's Crossing Ministry Building. But the easiest way to find us, if you're not familiar where we're at, is to go to the west side of Homeland on 3rd Street and turn north, and then go 2 blocks, and you will find us sitting right on the corner. We're just east of the junior high there on 1st Street. Our worship times are, we have Sunday school at 9:45, worship at 10:45. We just finished up a fall evening Bible study this week, but we'll have another one in the spring that we do on Monday nights. We're also doing a Tuesday noon light meal and study as well. So, and those will be ongoing. We'll take a break Thanksgiving week, about 3-week break at Christmas. And occasionally we will not have that just because of a conflict. But for the most part, that's an every week thing that happens at noon. If you want to come and share a light lunch with us, we try to be done with the main part of the service so that you can get back to work if you happen to be working by 1. We will just have a good time of study and fellowship. So just encourage you to be a part of that if you'd like. All right, so we're talking about ask, seek, and knock, and this is Jesus talking in the Sermon on the Mount about prayer. And we've talked about the importance of each one of those, and they kind of build one upon the other in intensity. And then Jesus, in verses 9 through 11, reminds us that God will give us what is good. He says, "Which of you, if your son asks for a bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" And Jesus uses this illustration to point out that God will only give us good gifts. You know, while there are bad parents who will not give their children anything that they really need to live, what they need to survive, Jesus, when he's making this point, he's pointing out that parents, for the most part, naturally want to give their children what they need. And he says, if earthly parents will do that, how much more will your heavenly Father give his good gifts to his children? Now, we know not everything in life is good. Sin's tainted this world that we're living in. We have heartache. We have despair. We have depression. We go through difficult times and a lot more. But even when we're going through those times, it should not cause us to quit trusting in God.
That's right.
Because God ultimately has it in control. You know, God is able to take what Satan meant for evil and turn it for good. You know, there's a worship song out, I think, about that. God's able to take what Satan meant for evil and turn it for good. If you'll remember when Joseph and his brothers all wind up down into Egypt after Jacob, Israel, dies, they take him back to the Holy Land. They bury him there, and then they all come back down. And Joseph's brothers are a little bit concerned because as long as Daddy was alive, they knew nothing was going to bad was going to happen to them. Now Daddy's gone, and they think, you know what? Joseph might want to get even with us. So they all come down and they say, hey, Dad said that you need to take care of us after I die. That's essentially what they said. You know, you don't get even against us. And so in Genesis 50:20, we read these words. Even though you planned evil against me, God planned good to come out of it. This was to keep many people alive, as he is doing now. Joseph was honest. He said, what you did wasn't good. But you know what? God saw what was going to come, and God has worked it for good. Don't worry about it. And God kept the whole family from starving by bringing them to Egypt, because the scripture says the famine was severe. There was nothing to eat, nothing for their flocks to eat. Where they lived in Egypt, even though there was a famine throughout the land, it was down in the delta where there was grass for their sheep, where they could take care of things and live the way that they needed to. Then, of course, we oftentimes quote Romans 8:28, that we know that God works all things together for good for those who love him and those who are called according to his plan. And so God is always working things out for our good. May not be good, may not appear to be good, but in the end, God will bring good out of it. We need to trust God in our difficulty. He's in control. And we need to remember that his ways are much higher than our ways. And so Jesus is saying here, when he's talking about, you know, the people knowing how to give good gifts to their children, that you're my child, and I'm going to give you a whole lot better gifts than a father can give to his children. And you can trust me. And so we have to just ask him, and he's going to meet our needs. So maybe we need to stop and ask ourselves a couple of three questions. First thing I think is good for us to ask is, how do I show my humility when I ask God for things? Am I tempted to demand things from God, or am I just simply asking him? You don't display humility whenever you demand. It's like, it's my way or else. But when you ask God, you're saying, God, here's a problem. I need an answer. I humbly bring it to you. And we have to remember, it's a request, not a demand. Mm-hmm. So that's important. A second question we might ask, how am I seeking God's will through prayer? And do I really believe that God's ways are better than mine? And I shared an example or two this morning that God's ways are much better than any way that we can think of. Mm-hmm. We don't know how God's going to work. And I remember the first year that I was in college in Houston, that we were going back home with to New Mexico, and it's the second year because I had my pickup. We were going back home to New Mexico because of Thanksgiving. It was Thanksgiving weekend, and my friend was in his truck in front of me, and then I was following him in my truck. You can tell we were real boys. And he pulls over to the side of the road in the rain. It started raining before we left Houston, and we drove in rain out of 750 miles. We drove 700 miles of it in rain. Yeah. And so we pulled over because we saw a guy on the other side of the road who had his flashers on, and we went across. Come to find out, he had a flat tire. And when you're out in the middle of nowhere of West Texas at about 1 o'clock in the morning, which it was, probably closer to midnight, we helped him get his tire off. His spare was flat. So we took him into Van Horn, got his tire fixed. There happened to be a guy there who was going back that way that took him back. But while this guy was riding in my friend's truck, my friend was able to lead him to Christ. You know, that's God working all things together for good. Mm-hmm. We could have said, God, my will is, I want to get home. We wanted to get home. It was early the next morning when we did finally make it home. And so it's important that we seek his will through prayer. And we have to acknowledge that God's way is better than our way. How often do I continue to knock on the doors of heaven? Do I ask once and give up? Am I continually in prayer when the answer doesn't come immediately? And I have to give a caution here as well, because I think there are times when we pray and God's told us that the answer's on the way, but we haven't seen it yet. And that's just God saying, okay, I've told you the answer's on the way. Just trust me. I've had times that God's told me, shut up. You know, because he's already told me that the answer is on the way. But when we haven't heard that from God, then we need to keep praying until we see the answer or we hear from God that the answer's on the way. And I think sometimes God tells us the answer's on the way to shut up because there's other things he wants us to focus on.
Right.
Other concerns that we need to be praying to him about. But until we receive that assurance, we are to continue to pray. Keep knocking on the doors of heaven until that door opens and God says, here's your answer, or the answer's on the way. Move on to the next thing that I've got for you. And perseverance in prayer is always going to bring the right answer. But we have to keep persevering. We have to keep praying and asking for God's will to be done. So, if you expect to receive, what do you have to do?
Ask.
Right. God wants us to bring our needs before him. It's not because he doesn't already know our needs. He knows what our needs are. Mm-hmm. Seems, you know, well, if God knows our needs, why doesn't he meet them? Well, that's the perseverance part. But we ask because we know that he cares for us. And it's one of the ways that God builds our faith, by asking him to meet our needs or the needs of other people or to resolve a situation. And so if you expect to receive, ask. If you want to receive the right answer, pursue God's will. Mm-hmm. God's never going to give you what is not good for you. Now, sometimes we think that God gives us what's not good for us because we've pursued the wrong thing and God never gave it to us, and it doesn't turn out to be too good. But when we're pursuing God's will always get the right answer. And so sometimes that right answer is not immediately apparent, but we see that down the road what the right answer is. And we just have to say, God, whatever, I'm going to leave it in your hands, and he will provide. So allow him to bless you with what you need, and you're going to find real life. And when you allow him to bless you with what you need, you can move forward from there, even though you may not have seen the answer, because you're living the life he's called you to. You know, God told Noah to build an ark, and it took him how long? 100 years? It was 100 years before Noah ultimately saw the answer to what God told him to do. Yeah. But we have to pursue God's will, and he was pursuing God's will by building the ark. And because of doing that, his family were saved, and of course the animals in the ark. And then remember that persistent prayer opens doors, that knocking. Consistent prayer brings the blessings of God into our hearts and our lives. God wants to bless us, but we need to be consistently praying that we can recognize his full blessings. And as I said earlier, when God tells us that he's answered, we don't need to keep praying for that thing necessarily, but we need to always be praying. As a Christian, if you're not always praying for something, you're dead. You're either physically dead or you're spiritually dead. you should always be praying for something. Ultimately, God's will, but there's always things to be praying about for your life and definitely for the lives of others. If you don't have, let me just put it this way. If you don't have anything to pray about when you get up in the morning, turn on the TV, turn on the news, open your Facebook account, open a news page, you'll have something to pray for immediately. Mm-hmm. I mean, If you have problems finding something to pray for, you're not keeping your eyes very wide open. So keep praying, and God will bless. And God will meet. Well, that's about all that I've got to share this morning. Hopefully it's been meaningful to you, an encouragement. Probably a lot of this you already know, you already heard, but we need to be reminded of those things every so often. And so
yes, we do.
Keep praying.
Amen. I want to share a little testimony. So for the past few days, I've been really wrestling. I've been in a battle, is a fair word. Halloween made 10 years that my husband had been in heaven. He's been in heaven 10 years. And, you know, the enemy knows, the enemy knows my hurts. He knows that when that first happened, it really messed me up. I mean, it messed me up. I ran. I didn't go to prayer. I ran. I did not want to deal with my world basically exploding, you know, because we were married. We were one. He did his part and I did my part. And then all of a sudden, he's not there. He's gone. And reality hit me. It's all me now. It's all of this is on me. And his death also sparked a fear inside me. Because in that moment, I began to question, wow, death, it's really real. and I was unsure, even as someone who believed. And the experiences that I've had in my life, I doubted where I would go, even though I had accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I just didn't live like it a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
However, this year, I have been able to maintain, to endure without crumbling. And like this morning, and there's been a lot of stuff happening, like darts and challenges that has come up, attacks. But God's so cool, because I was able to maintain my peace. Even though my husband's no longer here, I'm now at a place where it's, Lord, thank you. When the enemy starts attacking my mind, throwing the darts, you know, the stinking thinkings, I can now, I'm at a place now, God has brought me to the place now where I am thankful that I had my husband for the time that I did. And whenever I start getting those thoughts, when those thoughts come, I don't have to hold them and look at them and discern whether they're good or bad. It's like, no, thank you, Lord. When they come, well, you're alone now. What are you going to do? Well, this happened. Now what? That happened. Now what? Now what? Now what are you going to do? You know if, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm at a place now, instead of freaking out when those thoughts come, and even from having to take those thoughts captive and examine them to determine, to discern where they're coming from, mine, the enemy, or my Father in heaven, I'm now in a place where I can, nope, I thank you, Lord, for the gift of being his wife. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of having a husband. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of letting me be his wife. And I thank you, Lord, for showing me how you intended for me to be loved by a husband, by a man. And then whenever that doesn't get me sideways, when those thoughts, when I guard up, when I put my shield up against those, then the attack is about my daughter. Thanksgiving this year is on my daughter's birthday. My daughter would be 30 years old this year. I'm at a place now that I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you for the gift of my daughter, because she is a gift. She was a gift from you. And I thank you for the 21 years I had with her here on earth. I thank you for the gift of her son, my grandson Marcus. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. And then, here's one. So my account, one of my banking accounts in Texas, my banking account in Texas, someone in New York got a hold of my card info. And so, you know how that goes. And I didn't freak out. I had a peace within me that it's going to be okay. I don't have to freak out. I immediately, when I found out, went into prayer. Lord, Daddy, you know. You know that I've been working hard on my credit. You know that I've been working hard on rebuilding. I don't know what to do about this. What do I do? You know I need to call the bank and let them know. But what do I do? Well, I got instructions. I called the bank, and I did ask them to wait, which the Lord didn't tell me to do that. So anyway, I did ask them to give me about an hour to go to the ATM so I can withdraw and pay my bills.
Uh-huh.
Well, they did not. So I went back to the Lord. I said, Lord, you know, I've been really working hard on rebuilding after I messed it up so bad. Well, I don't know what to do here. Do I ask for help? Do I suck it up, buttercup, and wait and pay all these fees? And then he said, and this really moved me. He said, why do my people think it ain't okay to ask for help when they're in need? Yeah, I don't like asking for help, Lord.
A little pride involved?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Yes. Okay. Yes. So, for me, I took that opportunity, humbled myself, and asked for help, and received it. I mean, like that, within 24 hours. And it's just amazing to me how through, and there's other stuff, family matters, that I won't go into that involve guns. Oh, yeah, that's my family, y'all. And through all of it, I've been able to maintain my peace. I've been able to maintain the peace and the love. And I've been able to endure it. I've been able to continue to show up. I'm not going to, and for me, I'll be honest, there was days that I didn't want to come in. I didn't want to come in. I didn't feel like it. But I no longer walk by feelings.
Uh-huh.
If I don't show up, how is that going to glorify my God? If I bow to my feels, how is that going to glorify my God? If I don't show up and allow him to show up with me, how is that
right.
going to glorify my Father in heaven?
Well, that's a great, powerful testimony of how God works, how God answers our prayers, how he meets every one of our needs. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something we have to understand is that God is always there working in ways we don't see. And like you said, you know, Satan's throwing the darts at us. But here's something we also need to understand. Satan's a hit-and-run specialist. he'll hit you, and then he'll run. Because he knows when we turn to the Lord that God's much more powerful than he is. And so, since we know he's a hit-and-run specialist, we need to remember that Satan has a target on his back, and we need to take those darts that he's throwing at us and center them right in the center of that target. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, you know, it tells us to put on the full armor of God, you know. Well, we've got that sword. We can use that against him. So, just a little word picture there to help us remember that. But you know, it all begins with prayer. And if you want to summarize what prayer is, you know, you can have all these long definitions of what prayer is. Prayer is communication with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. Mm-hmm. And allowing God to communicate with us. Mm-hmm. We make prayer complicated. In fact, I did this whole series on prayer with the title, Keep It Simple. Don't make prayer complicated. Communicate with God.
I talk to him as though I'm talking to you right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Man, he's my best friend now. Mm-hmm. And it's taken me time. Possibly lots of time. Okay, lots of time. Lots of time, y'all. It's taken me time to get there. You know, because I had to be willing to lay aside everything that I thought I knew. And I'm going to go as far as to say everything I was taught, everything I had learned, I had to lay it all aside and say, Lord, please come into my heart and mean it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lord, I need your Holy Spirit. I want your Holy Spirit. Lord, give me. Lord, I don't want, and this is my prayer. This is how I talk to my father. Daddy, I don't want just an open heart. I want and I need it. I need a teachable heart, Lord, because I'm pretty stubborn. I'm pretty prideful. I'm a lot of things, Lord. But your word says you can take a heart of stone. Lord, I need a heart transplant. And I know you're the one to do it. Lord, I'm asking for an open, teachable heart. And I need that every day, man. I need an open, teachable heart every day. Since we're being transparent here, the old me was not a good person. I'd just soon throat punch you. And that ain't a joke. I'd just as soon throat punch you for looking at me than to speak a word to you. But God, mm-hmm. He has your heart ready.
Yep.
You just have to ask him for it. And I want to encourage you, don't ask for just an open heart. I want to encourage you to ask him for an open, teachable heart. And with that, you have to be willing to let go of, lay aside everything you thought you knew and everything that you were taught and everything you learned.
Right.
And allow his Holy Spirit to move and get rid of things that don't line up.
Mm-hmm.
Can't nobody do it like our God.
That's right. That's right. That's the reason why we bring it to him.
Amen.
Bring it to him in prayer.
I have more conversations with him than I do with people. even now.
Yeah.
It's like, for me to keep the thoughts at bay, my guard, for me, it's like a constant conversation in my head.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes I get flustered and I speak it out loud. You might see me in Walmart shaking my head and saying stuff. You may not be able to hear me very well, but you may hear me and see me. Mind your business. I'm talking to my father.
Very good. Very good.
We appreciate you coming and sharing with us, Pastor.
You're welcome. Always, as always.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and Pastor Joe Thompson, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time. And don't forget, we will end this broadcast and reset up the iPad, and we will bring a message from Pastor Dwight with the Truth Broadcast. His title for today is He Saved Us.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.